Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill. Pets shed. And accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at washablesofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Continuing with Tanya Bronigan, her new book is Red Memory, The Afterlives of China's Cultural Revolution. Tanya's reporting for The Guardian over many years, over 8 years, between the time of Hu Jintao and his premiership, his general secretaryship in the first decade of the 21st century, and Xi Jinping of the second decade and now the third decade. Both Xi Jinping and one rival that grew up at the same time as Xi Jinping, Bo Xilai, are victims of the Red Guard and were part of the Red Guard at the same time. Born between, I'm going to guess, 1946, the end of the Second War and the Japanese occupation, and 1956, the speech, the secret speech in Moscow by Khrushchev. That generation right in there, my generation, all victims of, all persecuted by, all part of the Red Guard, have opinions of them. And these two men are known as princelings. Tanya, again, your book is wonderful. What is a princeling in China? What does that mean when people talk about them?
These are the children who were born to the very top communist leaders, particularly in the case of Bo Xilai and Xi Jinping, that they were born to figures who'd been involved in the revolution, had come to power as senior leaders, but as you say, who both fell foul of Mao very spectacularly, as so many people at the top of the party did. And so in both cases, their families suffered immensely in the Cultural Revolution. Bo Xilai's siblings, we believe his brothers were initially quite active Red Guards, we think, but then his father was toppled. His mother, we believe, died after she was beaten by Red Guards. In Xi Jinping's case, his father had a daughter by a previous marriage, so Xi's elder sister is thought to have committed suicide because of the suffering that the family endured. His father was persecuted. A family friend says that at one stage, Xi's own mother was told to denounce Xi himself. And Xi Jinping was then sent, like 17 million young people, in fact, to the countryside, to extremely remote areas. I mean, there was nothing picturesque or sort of idyllic about this. They were sent to labor in pretty grim rural poverty. And so he spent about 7 years laboring in the countryside in very grim conditions.
The first is Bo Xilai's story. Bo Xilai was a princeling, as Tanya says, and he was a man in a hurry, ambitious, as is reported. He wanted to join the standing committee under Hu Jintao, was disappointed, and sent to be the mayor, the boss of Chongqing. At this point, the story becomes difficult for me to follow, other than the fact that Bo Xilai was very handsome, very educated, exposed, but he was part of the Red Guard's memory. So he has in him both sentiment and anxiety about all these events that we're talking about. And he was compared in his time in power to Silvio Berlusconi of Italy, Huey Long of Louisiana, who challenged FDR, and JFK himself, that kind of mix of personalities. However, he ran up against a party that was not going to reward him because, and therein lies a mystery, but always the intrigues never have one single explanation. His police chief in Chongqing ran away to denounce him in some fashion. And that brought not only Bo down, but the man named Zhou, I believe, or Zhao, the security chief on the standing committee. Was this a coup? Can you tell, Tanya?
The specifics of the case in terms of what brought him down directly was the fact that his wife had reportedly murdered a British businessman who had been acting for the family sort of in their business dealings, and had murdered him because I think she felt that he could potentially bring trouble upon them. And that Guo, unsurprisingly, under the circumstances, had then sort of conspired to cover this up. And so this was what finally brought him down. But it was clear that people at the centre were already looking at him, were very concerned about his rise. He had a very flashy style. The feeling was that he probably hoped to vault over Xi Jinping, who'd already been anointed as the next leader of China, and put himself in the top spot. And so there was certainly a feeling, I think, that he was a very dangerous, unstable, unpredictable figure that really sort of couldn't be trusted. He didn't do things in the way that other leaders had. And so I certainly don't think there was a great deal of sorrow when he felt. There were certainly rumours, claims that he may have plotted a coup. I think equally many people think perhaps he visited the military at a key point in all this intrigue. And I think many people think perhaps the more likely scenario is that he just wanted to show that he had backing, and therefore people shouldn't be too rash in removing him. But that certainly created lots of rumors about a coup or something of that kind.
What is important about the Red Guard detail is how he created a culture of sentimentality about the Cultural Revolution, singing East in Red, Long Live Chairman Mao, gatherings, colorful gatherings, operas played out for the people of Chongqing, Chongqing. Everybody in China knew about this. And what's striking to me is Xi Jinping picks this up and understands how it works for the sentimentality of our history. As you say at one point, history is religion in China, a certain kind of history. If it's positive, it's progressive. Xi Jinping is the opposite of Bo Xilai. He's subdued. He's what you'd have to say, plain. He's a wallflower. When he was in the United States on his travels back to China, I remember him stopping in the Midwest. It might have been Iowa or Kansas. A simple man he was presented to be, and he might have been. But he adopts the Red Guard, East is Red sentimentality, and that's dominating today. The Maoism part, the good Maoism, not the bad Maoism. Does he get that from Bo, or are they simultaneously calling back their similar memories?
Well, I think it's certainly very striking that there was a generation who had been young at the time of the Cultural Revolution, and we know that people have very strong memories of their youth, for good or bad. It was also very clear to them there was actually really a kind of grassroots development of nostalgia about this period. So people began going to exhibitions, meeting up, singing Red songs together. And I think Bo, in a way, was kind of clever enough to spot that and tap into it. And similarly, I think she partly felt that people had lost belief and wanted to return to a more ideological age. But yes, I mean, there are unquestionably, I think, echoes of that time, the appeal to this much more red ideological culture. And I think perhaps structurally as well, we have to remember that China had been through this period of immense double-digit growth, just staggering, seeing the leaps ahead that its economy was taking. What we saw in the period that I was there was that growth was slowing down, that people were becoming much more aware of its costs in terms of inequality and environmental devastation and so forth. And so people were really, I think, looking for some kind of meaning, the kind of meaning that perhaps is created or fostered with this return to the past, with a return to sort of a pure belief in the revolution, in communism. And so certainly under Xi Jinping, although it's very much focused around him rather than around Maoism, we have business leaders studying Xi Jinping thought. It's become much more central, political belief has become much more central to the country's life again.
The sentimentality. When we come back, there are impersonators of the major characters during the Cultural Revolution. There are also teams of people, clubs that come together to remember those days. The book is Red Memory, The Afterlives of China's Cultural Revolution. Tanya Bronigan is the author. I'm John Batchelor.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabay sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.